And welcome to the Danske Advantage podcast series. I'm Wendy Austin. In this series, we're talking to interesting, insightful people covering a whole range of topics from digital strategy to resilience to employee engagement. And today, one of the really hot topics at the moment, climate change. Until COVID came along, it was widely recognised as the single greatest issue affecting the planet. The difference between it and the virus, perhaps, is that there's no vaccine, there's no treatment around the corner. And for businesses, it's an increasing challenge with target dates lining up thick and fast. So what can your business do? What is it already doing? Have you any idea what your carbon footprint is or how you might go about reducing it? Let's talk about the climate agenda and sustainability within the business community in Northern Ireland with Geraldine Noe, who's Head of Environment at BITCNI, and Chris Martin, Head of Climate Risk and Strategy at Danske. It's great to have you both here. Geraldine, maybe you'd start by telling us a bit about business in the community and its role in this.
Sure. So Business in the Community is a member organization. So any company or any organization of any type can become a member of Business in the Community. And basically what we do is we help them to be more responsible. So more responsible, what does that mean? Well, more responsible towards their employees. So that's our people pillar, I would say. More responsible towards their community. So that's our place pillar. So that would be more have more relationships with the schools in their communities or with other charities, and more responsible towards the planet. So that's the part I am in charge of. And so in a very simple and practical way, what we do is we provide volunteering opportunities and all kinds of campaigns and programs so that businesses have that opportunity to be more responsible. And as part of what we do, on the environment side, we have launched a business action on climate campaign where we want to challenge and support all businesses in Northern Ireland to address the climate emergency.
Now, Chris, it's a pretty dramatic title that you have, Climate Risk and Strategy there. But I suppose it's mostly fairly recently that climate started to be considered as a risk for business.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm in role now just over 6 months. And it is a brand new role in the bank. And I guess one of the things it does, it just demonstrates how important climate change is for the likes of Danske Bank as part of playing our part in the Northern Ireland economy. But it really is, as you say, something that's been emerging over the last number of years. And climate change has been talked about for a period of time now. But I think people are really now starting to understand its importance, the impact it potentially will have, not just on our planet, but actually this is something that we're really now starting to see its impact locally within Northern Ireland, within businesses and within individuals. And that's the bit that has changed significantly. And that's the bit where, as a financial institution, the regulator is looking at us and saying, OK, you guys can play a really important part here in helping Northern Ireland and helping the economy change and adapt and prepare for the net zero future that we're trying to aim for and we're looking ahead to. So we're very much an enabler in that process. We're very much here to work with our customers, to work with businesses across Northern Ireland, and work with the likes of Geraldine and BITC to think about how we can partner up to help businesses start to think about their transition strategies and how they can respond to this climate crisis.
That's a great answer, actually, because I was going to ask you, what on earth has a bank got to do with climate change? And you know that you must have lots of customers who look at this and think, you know, you're meant to be looking after my money. You know, what has this got to do with you?
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I think, you know, when you start stripping this down and really thinking about it, for Northern Ireland, if we think about it primarily as an SME economy, and many of our businesses are involved in supply chains and they provide goods and services to other people throughout Northern Ireland, the UK, Europe and further afield. And with the climate agenda increasing rapidly and with the likes of governments starting to ask very direct questions around large businesses about what their climate plans are, you'll see very quickly that businesses within Northern Ireland and even smaller businesses who didn't necessarily think that this really impacts them they'll start to get asked very difficult questions, very direct questions, really quite soon from some larger businesses and larger suppliers and larger customers. So that will start to impact them. And where it impacts, I guess, is in a couple of ways. From their own business, ultimately, this comes down to pounds and pence. It comes down to profit and it comes down to the risk within a business. And as things like, for example, carbon taxes potentially increase over time, as things like the phasing out of fossil fuel means that people need to think differently about how they power their offices, their factories, their manufacturing facilities. Those are things that will take time to adapt to. And businesses that are on the front foot and are planning for that, as with all things, will minimize the impact on their profitability in the long term, whereas those who wait too long potentially could have to spend more significant amounts of money in a quick time frame to really change how that impacts. So that's one side. And the other side is, with everyone so focused on climate change now, with everyone really focused on what it means to head towards this net zero future, as with all things, there are incredible opportunities within there. There are incredible opportunities in emerging sectors that are coming out of this. There's incredible opportunities in transition and change. And those businesses who are not just thinking about the risk side, which resonates with my role, but also the strategy side. Where are the opportunities here, and where can that growth come from? And it's those businesses who move quickly, who stand there to reap the rewards that are going to come over the years ahead.
Well, let's dive more deeply in a moment or two into those risks and opportunities and the what businesses here specifically can do. And maybe take a second to set this in a bit of context. And Geraldine, what are the impacts of climate crisis that we're already seeing in Northern Ireland?
So I think we are used to seeing these impacts, and we've seen many of them in 2020, but at the other end of the world. So we've seen the fires in Australia, more extreme events like this. But I think it also, as you said, we are seeing those impacts now in Northern Ireland, and we have more and more heat waves, more and more extreme storms. So from a very practical point of view, that means more flooding, people being more uncomfortable in their work environment because it's too warm and there's no air conditioning, for instance. So these are the kind of things that we are seeing. And we are also, if you look at a city yes, Northern Ireland is a rural, relatively rural environment, but we still have some large cities, and these impacts will be felt even more within in an urban environment. So the heat waves will be felt even more by the inhabitants because of all the, because it's not a natural environment, etc. So thinking that this only happens at the other end of the world is not the right way to approach this. And as Chris said, those businesses that are operating here will see the impacts in their supply chain, because those businesses are not operating only in Northern Ireland. They are sourcing their materials everywhere in the world. They are exporting their products everywhere in the world. And if there is instability due to extreme climate events or political instability or somewhere else in the world, the repercussions will be real for businesses here. I think through their supply chain is a very high risk.
So the business case for climate action is being made fairly clearly here. I mean, if I'm a business of whatever size, and I've decided that I want to do something about this, to start taking the right steps, and you know, I believe that there are a whole load of targets coming down the track at me that I need to try and get ahead of, if you like. Where do you start, Geraldine?
So the best way to start is to learn. Learn about what will happen to your business if you don't do anything. And that's all about raising awareness. And I think this is something that we all have to collectively work towards, is raising the general knowledge of climate, carbon, carbon footprinting, all those terms that we see, that we hear with net zero, carbon positive, etc. We hear them, we are aware of them, but we don't know exactly what that means. So for me, that would be really the first step. And there are plenty of resources out there, plenty of books that are being written. But I think we need to get a similar culture that we would have about money. So when we see a product, a service, we know more or less how much it costs. In a range, of course, we won't know by the exact price, but we all have that sort of culture of money. And I believe we need to have that same culture about carbon and about climate. Whenever we do something, whenever we purchase something, we need to know more or less what are the impacts of this product, of this service on the climate. So that for me is the key first step. And then the second step is know where you are, understand your baseline, understand your current footprint. And that means that's interesting to know at an individual level. So there are plenty of individual footprint calculators, WWF. You can know how much, if everyone on Earth lived the same lifestyle as you, how many planets would we need? So that's always a bit both depressing and a bit shameful. But but from a business point of view, it's really interesting to understand where are your impacts. And I think coming back to a bank like Danske Bank, it's really interesting to know that most of your impact as a financial institution is where you put your money, really, what types of projects and businesses you finance. So I think once you understand that, then suddenly the course of action becomes a bit clearer and it's easier to know where you are going. Because unless you do that, unless you understand climate, carbon, and unless you know where you are starting from, it feels it's very it brings a lot of anxiety, I find. And both, again, from an individual and a business point of view, it feels like we need to do something, but what? And for me, these would be the two steps that we would need to take as a society, as a community of businesses, to really get started on this journey.
That's a very interesting point that Geraldine made there, Chris, about the banks and, you know, how you can, I suppose, take control of your carbon footprint by deciding where it is that you put your money. And for a lot of businesses, is that what it's eventually going to come down to? That this isn't just something, as Geraldine said, that's happening on the other side of the world or happening to other companies or happening to other people. It's actually going to hit you in the wallet. It's going to affect your bottom line if you don't do something about this and you do the right thing and get started now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is the main thing. You know, so from our perspective, and just picking up on Geraldine's point about understanding where you are, we spent a lot of time looking at our footprint as a bank, understanding what our scope 1 and 2 emissions are, putting up a pathway to think about where we go with those and how we reduce those. But Geraldine's absolutely right. The biggest thing for a financial organisation is what's termed as scope 3 emissions. And for us, that is where we lend our money and where that goes to. And that is where businesses within Northern Ireland, customers within Northern Ireland are going to start to see impacts, because as much as our scope 3 emissions are important to us, those scope 3 emissions are also important to many, many other companies, organisations and partners across the rest of Northern Ireland, UK, Europe and the world. And that's where there are certain things happening that are going to move that forward. So there is the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, another one of these lovely government-established things, and it's born out of Mark Carney's work when he was Governor of the Bank of England. But the premise of that is that all companies in due course will have to disclose as part of their financial accounts their climate impacts. They will have to disclose their emissions. They'll have to talk about their emissions that are generated from their supply chain. They'll have to talk about what steps they're taking to address those emissions. And the UK is really ahead of the game in this. So recently their government announced that those TCFD disclosures are really going to kick in from this year onwards. And what you're going to see is large companies within the United Kingdom having to report to those guidelines from 2022 onwards. Now, that immediately means you might not be a large company as defined by HMRC, but it's fairly reasonable to assume that you're in some sort of supply chain for a large company. So you have to expect that company will come and ask you as a business questions about what you're doing on climate change and what you're doing on emissions, because you make up their scope 3 emissions. So there's a circular nature to this, with large companies asking smaller companies questions, smaller companies having to think and respond and having to take the steps to make sure that they are they're credible from a climate perspective, that they're viable from a climate perspective, and that actually any investment they're making or any steps that they're taking, they're doing in such a way that it really doesn't impact them from a profitability perspective in a very concentrated timeline. It's like all these things, the longer you have to address something, the longer you have to adapt to something, the more strategic you can be about it and the better you can factor it in. And that's where the impacts are really going to come out.
Right. So let me just grab a little bit out of what you were saying there, which was when you said that the UK is ahead of the game in this. So it's ahead of the game, Geraldine, in the fact that those TCFD disclosures are going to come into force this year for some companies and so on. Is it ahead of the game in giving any kind of assistance to companies? And what about the situation here in Northern Ireland? You know, if they're sitting, somebody's sitting watching this and thinking, blimey, I actually didn't understand any of that last answer of Chris's scope 1 and 2 options and emissions, and for heaven's sake, you know, who's going to help me in this? You know, oh, there's bound to be someone at Stormont. Is that the case?
Well, there is a lot. There's plenty of resources out there. Plenty of a lot of the knowledge and the science is available, is readily available. So that's well, one way we can look for help. I'm glad you asked, because we have the part of our business action on climate campaign is all about supporting the businesses, because we completely understand that yes, it's great to sign a pledge, it's great to have you know, to understand that we need to do something, but knowing where to start and actually doing it when you not always have the resources, because you're a smaller company, it's you can't have a head of climate if you're 100, if you have 100 employees in your company, that's a little unrealistic. So we really want to be there to support the businesses on their journey. And the way we propose to do that is by providing some of this much needed awareness raising. So via carbon literacy training, we are working with the Carbon Literacy Project on this, and they are doing some amazing work to support this culture of climate growing within sectors, within organizations in the UK. So if you don't know about them, look them up. They're great. And we also want to support businesses in a very practical way. So you don't measure your emissions yet? Well, no problem. We have some bespoke advisory. We have some toolkits. We have a template that can help you on this. We won't be doing it for you, but we will empower you to be able to do it yourself. And I think there is virtue in it. Well, if you're a very complicated company, obviously there are thousands of consultants on the market who can do your carbon footprinting for you. But if you're a smaller company, I believe there's virtue in really understanding the process and being able to map your emissions, well, at least your direct emissions, so scope 1 and scope 2. And so yes, and this empowerment. And as we progress in the campaign, we only launched it last year, so we are still in the beginning of this, but we want to be able to provide support on how to engage your suppliers, how to engage your employees, how to link with your stakeholders, to collectively work towards reducing emissions. And Chris mentioned it, but it's when you start looking at your scope three, so all your indirect emissions coming from your supply chain, your suppliers, and your clients. It's the hardest bit, obviously. It's the most complicated one, but it's also the most exciting one. And I think that's where we see a lot of opportunities arising. We have one of our climate champions is ABP Food Group. So they basically sell meat, process and sell meat, a very simple business. And they work with their farmers, the farmers in their supply chain, to help them, well, be more efficient and also reduce their emissions. And I think that's, for me, that's really super exciting, because they learn who they are working with. They go as far as the farm to understand what the practices are and how they can work together to improve them. And this is where suddenly it becomes a little less scary, I find, a little more positive, because that's where you will get those stories and it gets really exciting. And I think you can tell it in my voice, but I just love those stories of collaboration and companies working together.
Is that something that you've really come across too, Chris?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think that's the really interesting bit here, because, you know, I think if we're all honest, that the climate aspect that we're on, the journey that we're on, we are all still very much on early stages of it. And certainly there are some that are more advanced than others. We certainly look at ourselves and think that this is a journey that we're really embarking on. We don't by any sense hold ourselves up as an exemplar of what to do. We're very much learning, but I think that's very much where the opportunity comes from, and as Jeremy says, the opportunity to collaborate and partnership with people and work together in this, because if you take a step back from the usual sort of cut and thrust of business, climate change is, and as you said at the start, Wendy, it's a global issue, and it's the biggest thing that's out there, save for the position we're in with COVID at the moment. So that will require government, businesses, financial institutions, bodies such as BITC and other partners to really come together and work collectively and collaboratively to think about how we can address this. What can we do differently? How can we approach it? And I think from that perspective, the way we look at it is very much a desire to engage with customers on this, to open up a dialogue, to have a conversation. No real expectation that everyone will have the perfect exam question answer at this point in time. But actually, by starting that engagement, by working with customers, by signposting the likes of the Climate Pledge through BITC, for helping our customers get engaged with that sort of program, that's where we start to answer the questions, and that's where people can start off on that journey. And this really is one of those things where it is big and there's a lot to it. But actually taking that first step in that process, and as Jeremy said, starting to understand your emissions, starting to understand those impacts for your business, starting to understand what a pathway might look like for you, it's important to take that first step and not necessarily know what all the answers are going to be, but see where that journey takes you to. Because the good thing we know is we know we need to start. We know we need to get to a point where we're net zero, and 2050 is a date a lot of people talk about. So you've got a start point, you've got an end point, and in between that, there's lots of people, lots of organisations, and lots of opportunity to collaborate to work out what's the best pathway for you and for your business.
And it's interesting, through these Danske Advantage podcasts, one of the things that has really come to the fore, I think, in virtually all of the topics that we've covered, has been how in the last year or so, for in some instances obvious reasons, the way people work has changed. There has been much more collaboration, much more cooperation, even between businesses that that would normally be very much in competition with one another. But also, we've all been working in such a different way, and maybe become a bit more aware of our surroundings. In some ways, I wonder, Geraldine, does that make it the more obvious to us that this is something that we really need to kind of get a hold of now?
You mean through the COVID crisis?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, that there have been two big learnings of COVID. The first one is that, well, even when we can completely change our lifestyles, that's possible. if before that we were told, oh no, but I'll never be able to work from home, I would have said that, for instance, or I would never be able to order, do all my shopping on internet, for instance. That would have been something quite difficult for some people before. Well, I think we've seen that we can, like, revolutions are possible. We are living one at the moment. and crises will happen. it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when at this stage. And the second lesson for me is, even when the world stops in its tracks completely like this, even then, we haven't seen greenhouse gas emissions reduce by that much. We have seen, you know, those beautiful images of the dolphins in Venice and the nature taking back some urban spaces, etc. So that's really nice to see. But if we look at the big picture and if we look at carbon emissions, etc., we've only reduced by what we needed before just to reach the Paris Agreement. That's exactly what was needed. So actually, now the question is, okay, well, individuals have stopped, and although that was good, that wasn't enough. So for me, the message now is, okay, businesses, now it's your turn to look at what you can do, because businesses have been working throughout this crisis. We have all seen the Amazon Prime trucks continuing to deliver. But we have had food in our supermarkets and in our plates. So production has continued. We have purchased some clothes, etc. So, okay, so even if individuals stop, that's not enough. So we need businesses to play their part, and we need governments to be ambitious enough and to support the business world to actually, well, play its part in this. And I think for me that's both positive and a negative, really. But I think it's shifted for me. It's a good shift of the debate from individual action, where before we would have said, well, you need to cycle to work, you need to stop eating meat, and almost feeling that would be enough. But no, actually no, that's necessary, but that's not enough. We need some collaboration, we need some bigger scale work, and that will come from businesses and governments.
So, Chris, just given what Geraldine was saying there, the Business Action on Climate campaign and the Climate Action Pledge, I mean, that's a real call to action to businesses. If they want to really get involved in this, well, they're going to have to, as you've both been explaining. How can Danske Bank help them with that?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we're working in partnership with business and community on, and we're about to embark on a pilot where we're going to take a number of our customers through that process that Geraldine talked about earlier. So we're actually going to work collaboratively with them, take them through the little modules Geraldine talked about, help them understand their climate footprint, help them understand what a pathway for their business might look like. The way we're going to do that is their existing relationship manager will partner with them through that process. So actually, by the time they get to the end of that journey and they're ready to sign the climate pledge and feel that they've got a pathway there, that the banker alongside them have worked through that and said, okay, does that mean that you need some assistance with funding that transition? Does that mean you need some assistance in maybe rethinking the structure of your business or some opportunities that may be coming out of that? So very much wanting to work as a partnership between ourselves, our customer and business in the community to really help them on that journey towards that transition that they need to take. So it's very much part of a partnership approach that we're embarking on.
So Geraldine, does that partnership only include someone like Danske Bank and the businesses and business in the community? Where does government action come into this? I mean, there's this Green New Deal in the rest of the UK, where they're apparently driving towards this. You know, Boris Johnson is talking to Joe Biden about it as the most important thing. Where are we on this?
We are I cannot answer for the Northern Irish government, obviously, but at the moment Northern Ireland is the only nation without a proper climate bill. We have the UK target of reaching net zero by 2050, but we don't have a local legislation. So I think that's cruelly missing from the Northern Irish landscape. And I think here the role of businesses is to show that, well, the ambition is here, that we want this ambitious target for Northern Ireland, and we want to see ambitious action. I think it's around a quarter of the footprint, or a little less maybe, in Northern Ireland that comes from buildings, so housings that are poorly insulated. And although that's an issue that can be addressed by businesses, we would love to see a government funded program to support businesses to work towards having better insulation. And again, it's not only about the environment. There are so many benefits to this on fuel poverty, on health issues. So I think it's time we see some bold action from the government because, well, as we said, we need everyone on this, and we need a good collaboration. And for me, the role of businesses is showing, well, look, we are asked as businesses to have ambitious targets, to work collaboratively. The government needs to support us and should be at the forefront, I would say.
And what sort of progress is being made in the whole business action on climate campaign? Where are we with that?
So we launched the campaign last end of June 2020, so in the middle of COVID. So as you can imagine, the context was a bit special. We have reached out to more than 100 organizations now in Northern Ireland, and we are having those discussions about, okay, where are you on your climate journey and how can we support you? So this is really, really interesting. We are currently developing or co-developing some climate literacy, some carbon literacy, training modules specifically for Northern Ireland, specifically for the construction sector, for SMEs. So a lot of content is coming. So that's really exciting. We have the Danske Bank program starting in March, which I'm not aware of anything that's similar or looks like this anywhere in the world. So I like to say it's the first program of that type in the world. And so that's really exciting as well. Our challenge now, I would say, is two ways, is to get more companies informed and engaged, more companies committing, signing our climate action pledge. We know we are not the only pledge in the world, and honestly, that's great. There are more ambitious pledges. This one has a local flavor. It's been tailored for the Northern Irish context, so we feel it's relevant to hear. And the second challenge for us now is having that dialogue with the government, having that dialogue with the various departments, with DIRA, with the Department for the Economy. To influence where we can, but more to secure their support, I would say. These are the two challenges for us. But things are happening, and it's really, really exciting.
Chris, I wonder, coming out of COVID, you hear so many companies and individuals saying that, you know, it's not going to be the same, that the way that we live, the way that we take our holidays or not, the way that we do our business, isn't going to go back to the way that it was. So is there a real opportunity here then for a kind of new start, which would better approach the whole climate change agenda at the same time?
Yeah, very much. I definitely believe that. I think we've heard a lot coming out of UK government about the idea of build back better and build back greener. And certainly there appears to be a real increase in desire to make any recovery a green-led recovery. And alongside that, we're seeing money coming out of central government for renewables and for expanding a real ambitious agenda to make the UK a real centre of renewables and to be driving up our energy usage from that side. So I think right across the board, there's definitely that opportunity, because you take a step back, you know, what COVID has shown us is we are not immune to big global events. And whereas traditionally we might have looked at climate change and thought to ourselves, well, that impacts in wildfires in Australia or significant coastal flooding in areas like Bangladesh that see that every year. But it's not. There is a local element to this, and there is definitely a local impact to this. And so I think that ability to take a step back and think to ourselves, well, we've seen impacts on supply chains because of COVID. We've seen impact on customer behavior and customer demands, that actually we can start to now think about, well, as hopefully we move out of COVID and the challenges that have come from that start to dissipate over time. And you know, let's be really honest about this. It has been a really, really difficult journey for businesses over the last number of months, and that is going to continue for a little while yet. But what we have is this opportunity to recognize that actually the climate change crisis is already there. We didn't see COVID coming. We can see the climate crisis coming. We know that it's going to happen. So we have time to adjust and adapt. And I definitely think that allows for a different approach. It allows for businesses to start thinking slightly differently about the way they do things, and allows them to start putting those small steps in place now that are going to make a difference for them in the years to come.
So as we come towards the end of this podcast, I'd be keen just from each of you to get a few real clear signposts here for businesses who are watching this, who are saying to themselves, OK, we need to do this. We're going to do this. And maybe give them a bit of a hand as to how they're going to actually achieve that. Geraldine, let me start with you then.
So I think obviously I'm going to preach for my own church. Can you say that in English? I'm sorry.
I think you're
saying in French. but obviously, if you are based in Northern Ireland, then have a look at our business action on climate. We have resources there, and we have a series of webinars coming up in March as well. So a lot of resources there. I think depending on where you are on your journey, there are plenty of things that businesses can be looking at. So if they want to look at how to measure their carbon footprint, there's the GHG protocol, there's the DEFRA emission conversion factors that exist. If they are looking at setting targets, science-based targets website is full of resources, and that's where the science is. So it's really interesting to understand that. Getting support there, locally speaking, there's Climate NI, there's Invest NI, who are doing some great work on really practical support, both on adapting a business to the climate crisis and mitigating one's impact. There's the Chapter Zero project, which is specifically tailored for top management. So a lot exists. You can start with the Business in the Community NI website, of course, but there's a lot out there. So these would be my top one.
Great. Thank you very much for that. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I would echo everything that Geraldine said. There are some great resources in what she listed, and certainly as you'd imagine, we'd be a great advocate for the BITC Climate Pledge, and certainly hoping to signpost a lot of our customers to start there on their journey. And I think from my perspective, I guess for me the main takeaway at the moment is climate change is big. There's a lot to it, and no matter where you are on your journey, whether you haven't taken that first step yet or whether you're on the early stages, the best way to approach this is just to start off. It's like that old analogy, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I just encourage people, take that first bite, have the conversation with your relationship manager in Danske Bank. We're more than happy to start talking about this. Reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and all those things. I'm always happy to chat about this, as you can tell, and look to the likes of BITC for that support as well. There are resources out there, and all of this can be a little overwhelming as you start. And you mentioned it yourself. We talk scope 1 and scope 2 and scope 3 and this, that, and the other. The point here is there is some really good resources that are really simple. Take the first step, make the start, and build your journey and your pathway out from there.
Well, it's been fascinating hearing about it, I must say, and I didn't know the half of it before we began. And certainly I'll be looking up some of those resources that you're talking about as well. I hope that all of you who've been listening to this have enjoyed it as well. Huge thanks to Geraldine Noe from BITC in Northern Ireland and to Chris Martin of Danske Bank. This is a Danske Advantage podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Do rate it. and let us know what you think. We'd be interested to hear, and there'll be another one sometime soon. So join us then. Thanks for being with us.